always good to be here. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us safely here this day. We thank you, Lord, for our very life. We come before you and praise you, for you are a good God. Lord, open up our hearts to your word. Help us to hear from you. Help us to be led by your Spirit. Thank you for loving us, Lord, in so many ways and being our God, our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, many of you know I had the privilege of going to Cambodia. I had a trip was basically the starting of a school. It's called the Good Samaritan School, and it will be Operation 2020. So prayerfully, by the year 2020, there will be an operable school in Cambodia, specifically for Vietnam veterans, but also for Vietnamese immigrants, rather, but for Cambodians as well. How did I get involved in this project? Well, it was a friend of mine, and he had talked of this for a while to me, and you know, this is something that he wanted to do. And I was encouraging him. I said, "Oh yes, what a great thing to do! You know, that would be wonderful to have a school for the Vietnamese immigrants in Cambodia." And then he came back to me and asked me to go. Okay, and my first reaction was, "Let me pray about it. Let me see if this is, you know, what the Lord would have for me." And I did feel, yes, I should go, and I wanted to go. But then I got scared. I was afraid of malaria. I was afraid of dengue fever, for whatever reason that came to me. I was afraid. I'm not a big flyer. I didn't want to think about going on a big long flight. And the Lord was gracious to me. He gave me this prayer. And this is an old Jewish prayer. It's actually probably the most famous prayer or blessing in the Old Testament. And this prayer became a comfort for me. And it's Aaron's blessing. And it starts in Numbers 6. And I'll start in verse 23. And in Numbers 6, 23, it says, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace." And this was the prayer that I was praying. And I was praying this prayer for myself, that I would have God's peace about this. The English word peace does not translate very well from the Hebrew. Hebrew have used the word shalom for peace. But it is peace, and it does fit with peace, but it's far more profound than what we would think of just peace on earth and peace, you know, between nations, or even peace somewhat in our own heart. Within the word shalom, as I've looked into this, it's far more. It's like harmony almost, like a perfect harmony between God and his people, and just a real deep internal sense of peace. I didn't fully have that, okay? I didn't fully have that. I did get on the plane, I did go to Cambodia, and I was pretty good about it, but I didn't have this full peace. Now, Cambodia's time frame is exactly 12 hours opposite from ours. So I never even had to change my watch. It was exactly 12 hours. How we flew there, we flew out of Newark Airport, flew from Newark to Alaska, then from Alaska to Taipei, from Taipei to Phnom Penh. So it was a good 23 hours. I was a little exhausted at the end of this, and so needless to say, I would go to bed very early. The first couple of days, I would go to bed very early. We'd come back after a day of teaching, and I would try to get to bed about 8:30 in the evening. The problem was, I was up at 3:30 in the morning, ready to go. So 3:30 in the morning, I'm up. And what would I do? I would pray, and I would come to God's Word, and I'd read His Word. And as I was reading, through 2 Corinthians, and finished that book of 2 Corinthians, and came to 2 Corinthians 13:14, where it said, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." And what this rang to me was, this is Aaron's blessing. This is Aaron's blessing to the Jewish people, to the Jewish people, though this would not be fully realized until the coming of the risen Messiah. In the book of Hebrews, tells us there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. There can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. God's grace to us is the Lord Jesus. He gave his life for ours. The face of God is God's love and compassion for us. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that God's compassion, there can be no real peace, no real shalom, until we're complete in Christ through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us. Aaron's blessing was a beautiful and helpful blessing to me, but it was pointing to the Christ. And that struck me like very strong as I went back and started to look at the words, and this is what we'll do this morning. Look at the words of Aaron's blessing. And the last time I was here, many of you may remember that we sang the Hebrew alphabet, and we talked about Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, a name for God, and how saving faith has three components. It's the head, that our head has to believe. We have to believe with our head that God loves us, that God made us, that there is a God. But that's not enough. You could have all the knowledge in the world and still not have saving faith. Then there's the heart, that we must love God, that we must learn to place God first above ourselves. And then there's the will to follow God. So we're going to look at the words, some of the other words in this wonderful, wonderful blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. I want you to think of your blessings. What are your blessings? Think of your blessings. The Jewish people always saw blessings as a test. And that is actually a very true and real thought. I was blessed by being asked to go to Cambodia. But as soon as I said yes, fear crept into my heart. And then there was this test of, you know, are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust God within this or not? I was blessed with a wife and family. But the blessing of my wife, am I going to be faithful? Am I going to love my wife as Christ loved the church? Am I going to be a good father to my children? You guys were blessed, the younger people. You were blessed with parents that love you. But there's a test there. Will you keep the fourth commandment? Will you honor your mother and father? It's not always easy. Parents are people too, and we are all imperfect. But that's a test of our faithfulness. In verse 24, it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." The Apostle Peter would learn the importance of this truth in Luke 22. I'm going to be sort of jumping around. You could just stay with Aaron, but I'm going to be jumping around a little bit. You could stay with me if you want, but these are where the scriptures of this is coming. In Luke 22:31, Simon Peter would learn of the Lord keeping him. And it's starting in verse 31. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Jesus said to Peter, "I have prayed for you." Jesus knew that Peter would fall. But in that fall, he would learn humility, dependence upon Jesus. You see, we are not as strong as we think we are. But Jesus is stronger than we can fully know. To keep you in our own strength, intelligence, kindness, goodness, and anything else you list, we will fail. We cannot save ourselves for eternity. No one can. Only God could. Only God can break through this wall of sin. And praise God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, that is exactly what he did. The Lord make his face, verse 25 in Aaron's blessing, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. I think of the words of another rabbi, and the rabbi is the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, and how God broke into his life in Acts 9:3. In Acts 9:3, we have the words of Jesus to Paul. As Paul, or Saul at that time, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anything. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. That's Acts 9, 3-9. The Lord made his face to shine upon Paul in his dramatic conversion, but the Lord has also shone his miraculous light upon each of us who believe. Look at Isaiah 60. In Isaiah, we have how God has shone his face upon us. Isaiah 60, 1 through 4 reads, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you." If you have come to faith in Jesus, God has cast his face upon you. How? Through the word of truth, God has opened your eyes. God has opened your eyes to who he is. The Aaron's blessing will go on and say, "And be gracious to you." I want you to think about God's grace given to you as you watch these slides of Cambodia. Don, you may start it, but this is God's grace for you that I want you to think about.
Oh.
I taught English was through music. People of the church would write out sounds. We had five different songs. They didn't overly know what they were singing, but they sang very well. And they would sing the words, and I would try to put those into sentences and do different things within that. But it was a great blessing. The fella that I went with, Hong Pham, and actually I've been pronouncing his name wrong for the past 15 years, but that's another story. He's kind of a hero of mine. He doesn't know that, okay, but he kind of is. And Hong, at 15 years old, had to flee Vietnam. The North Vietnamese were coming into the South. He had to flee Vietnam. He went to Cambodia. He was one of the Cambodian boat people. They put many of the people from Vietnam on barges and sent them out to sea, really to die. You know, I mean, that the barges would flip over or whatever. But Hong's barge made it back to land. Consequently, he was picked up by a missions group and came to the United States of America at 15 years old without his family, without anything. And actually, he spoke no English. He was not from Saigon at that time. He was from, like, more or less the centralish region. So he could speak French very fluently. He could speak Vietnamese very fluently, but no English. And he's in this country all by himself. Well, he proceeds to go to high school, graduates high school, goes to junior college, graduates junior college, goes to college, graduates college, goes to master's, gets his master's degree, gets his PhD degree. He is currently the head of systems engineering at Rutgers University. He's the chair of the department there. Last year, he won the IEEE award for engineering, for the top engineer, you know, that there is. But he knows, he's obviously a very bright guy, he knows there, but for God's hand and God's hand upon him, that he could have been in one of these villages, these Vietnamese villages within Cambodia. So his heart and a group of other Vietnamese Christians, some from Texas, some from California, and many from Vietnam, have a heart for the Vietnamese in Cambodia. And that's where the funding and some of the different aspects of this school is coming from. The blessing of the students was really great. I love teaching. I love kids. I did. The church reminded me of you guys, actually. There's a bunch of young people leading worship, you know, all little kids within the church and stuff like that. And they were a great blessing. The two girl worship leaders were very, 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 you know, excited about praising God. And that was a great blessing. But honestly, one night around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm up, you know, and doing some different things. And I'm praying, and I was down. I was tired, something else. I was just not very pleased at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was praying to God, and I was thinking about the villages with all those little children that very, very, very beyond poor. We brought bread to them and some other things and, you know, little gifts and stuff. You looked at all these tiny little faces, you know, alive, but you said, where is this going to go, Lord? Why is this? And then there were some other things that happened. You know, I was thinking the students, you know, are they going to be able to go on to school? Are they going to be able to use? And I was moaning and groaning about my own not feeling so good or something, or being missing my family. And there was another instance where a mother had come to the dump. There was some orphanages that we would go and visit. A mother had come to the dump and had left her child, left her baby. Consequently, the baby was able to go back to the orphanage. And so it was like, you know, they took me to the Holocaust Museum in Phnom Penh where Pol Pot killed many, many of his people. They wanted you to see the killing fields. I knew of them from history, but they wanted you to see some of their history, broken history, really. And I didn't think that I would go there, but consequently we did. So I was groaning and moaning and complaining to God. And God put on my heart in prayer. He said, do you think I don't see this? Do you think that I don't know all this and far more throughout every part of this world? Do you think your eyes are just open here to this little pocket of what I was considering misery? God's saying, of course I see all this, but life is worth it. The ability, the gift to be born into this world, the opportunity to know the God who made you and loves you. It was worth so much that God sent himself in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to die for us. He said, what this is not meant to do is bring out your grumbling and complaining and moaning and groaning for these people. Do what you were asked to come here to do. Teach them. Bring out your love. Bring out your compassion. Take away your grumbling. And that was a blessing to me that the Lord spoke, and I was able to go, okay, Lord, let me get my lessons ready for today and let me do this. But that was then I wasn't as sad, let's say, as looking at the poverty sort of around you and the circumstances around you, that move forward step by step. God is in control. You know, how it all breaks will be in His hands. But bring out your love and your compassion more fully. Many people that go to Cambodia, they will go to a place called Angkor Wat. It is getting tourists, by the way. It is starting to get tourists. That's one of their big pushes, actually. There's no restrictions. Like, I could have come in with 15 Bibles. Like, at first we were afraid of certain things that maybe, you know, you couldn't do certain things there. Actually, one of the students in my class was in the military, and he came in carrying his gun. So he had his gun on his side, you know, and oh, welcome. he was very nice. He was very, very nice. But many of the people that go to Cambodia will go to Angkor Wat. And it's this old ancient temple from 11th or 12th century when Cambodia was a very prominent nation. And apparently it is really amazing. I mean, I'm not knocking that. But I didn't get to see that. But what I did get to see was 8 people come to faith. A team from Vietnam came in on Friday night, and they led the worship service, you know. Well, they preached in Vietnamese. Well, it was translated into Cambodian. So needless to say, I'm useless. I mean, so I'm sitting there not getting any of this. And they had a call to faith. And some of the girls, some of the younger girls in the class were praying for their parents. And consequently, 3 of their moms came to faith, you know, that Friday night. Through God's grace, and 3 of their moms came to faith. Well, I didn't know what they were really praying. I couldn't understand either language, so I had the privilege, actually, of looking up. So everybody's praying with their heads down. I'm looking up, and there, across from me, was one of my students, Ing Suk Im. Ing Suk Im, and I killed her name throughout the whole week, so I'm not going to be good now. And she was just aglow. Like, her face is something that I want to remember. Like, her face, just seeing her mom going down for faith. And then she looked over at me looking up. And that smile is an image and a picture, you know, that was worth to me far more than Angkor Wat, you know, within that. And I think of other scenes within our Bible. That we have the privilege, to have God Himself, our Maker and Creator, smile upon us. And I look at Aaron's words here in verse 26. The Lord, lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord smiles upon us. And I think of Paul at the end of his ministry here. He's getting ready to be martyred for his faith in a Roman cell. And this is Paul at the end of his ministry. These are his words in 2 Timothy 4:6. The time has come for me to depart. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. That's us. We are included in God's kingdom when you believe the gospel of your salvation. We are included in not an earthly realm, not a realm that's going to fade away, but we are in an eternal kingdom that will go on throughout eternity. I know that's hard for people to get. Guys, I didn't come to faith till I was 44 years old. I'm a very stubborn-hearted, self-willed person. took me a long time to come to this. My background was Catholicism. I believed in God, but I never knew what to do with Jesus. Therefore, I ignored him. I said, okay, I just didn't know. Just did not know. But the reality is, where does peace, where does shalom, true shalom, come from? Unity with our God. Through his grace, Paul gives us the answer. And that night, as I finished reading the book of 2 Corinthians, he led me to 13:4, and the passage reads, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." Peace comes from believing that all blessings come from God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. In this broken world, we needed a Savior. I looked at those little people, and if I didn't know there was a Savior, I don't know how that pain would have been taken away from my own heart. But praise God, there is a Savior, that God sent his Son. And through Jesus Christ, we have one that prays for us, that cares for us, that wants to lead us home to himself. And he will, as we trust in him. Let us pray. Father, I come before you, and I thank you. I thank you for the great privilege of really getting to know many of these young people, specifically in Cambodia, and I do pray for their prayers. I think of the young man's heart who cried out, who's now back in Vietnam, who cried out for his church in Vietnam, that he wanted ways to help. I think of the young girl who wants to be a doctor. It's very far away from her ability at this point financially to pay. Very smart, all the ability in the world, Lord, but you know the doors that are there, and I pray that you would open up those doors and you would enable her to become a doctor and be able to minister to the very poor, for that was her heart, that she wanted to minister to the poor there in Cambodia. Father, I pray for many of the faces and the people that I saw there, but Lord, poverty and hardship and struggles are all around us, in our neighbors, in our neighborhood, in our own state and in our own communities, Lord. We pray for each one of those situations, that you would open up our hearts to have compassion, to have love, to have your grace, to love you more, to trust you more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.